morning. I just want to share West Philadelphia's experience with implementing herpes zoster surveillance. And one interesting thing to note is that herpes zoster is not reportable nationwide, but it is reportable in the city of Philadelphia. And Raphael went through the incidence of herpes zoster, but just to note here that 67% of cases occur in adults 50 years of age and older, and again, the lifetime incidence is 20 to 30%. And roughly 50% of persons aged 85 or older will experience zoster. So the objective of our research was to describe the adult herpes zoster and post-herpetic neuralgia surveillance in West Philadelphia and to present our initial findings on our surveillance methods and our expansion process, and also to give some baseline incidence and baseline clinical characteristics of zoster. So why is the surveillance needed? Again, it's to evaluate the shingles vaccinations program's impact on herpes zoster incidence and disease severity among adults. To give you some background on West Philadelphia, the area in blue is West Philadelphia, and it entails 7 zip codes and 26 square miles, excuse me. And we have roughly 269,000 people, which makes up about 1/5 of the population of Philadelphia. And roughly 27% of those are age 50 or older. And there are a higher proportion of female adults age 50 or older in West Philadelphia. And the majority of the residents are African American, non-Hispanic. So there are three phases of zoster surveillance in West Philadelphia. The first phase, which began in 95, zoster was not emphasized as part of surveillance. In the second phase of active surveillance, we started with the younger population, which was under 20 years of age. And in our third phase, we added the 50 years of age or older to our active surveillance. And so the expansion process includes several different sources, the traditional sources and electronic sources. So in traditional sources, we contacted state and local professional organizations to obtain healthcare provider lists and identify potential sites, and then cross-reference those with our access database to identify those new sites. And then we performed on-site evaluations and orientation of those sites to get them on board with reporting zoster cases to us. We also have electronic sources, which include monthly hospital billing reports, and they are done citywide, and they include any diagnosis of herpes zoster. And we get daily reports of hospital ER visits for residents citywide with a chief diagnosis or chief complaint of herpes zoster. And this just shows you the breakdown of our surveillance sites before and after the expansion. And one thing to note is the long-term care facilities. So before the expansion, we did not have long-term care, and now we have 14 sites that provide reports for long-term care. And you'll also notice an increase in the other specialties, which include dermatologists, family planning clinics, pain clinics, and infectious disease specialties. It does appear to be a decrease in the family medicine internists, but that is actually due to facilities closing or merging with other health centers. So what is active surveillance? What we do is we identify the contacts at these sites, and we establish and maintain those contacts and relationships through site visits. We remind them that they must report cases or the absence of cases bi-monthly. So even when they don't have a case, we need to hear about it. And we send them a reminder bi-monthly through fax and email. If they don't report to us, we will make a phone call. And if they continue to not report, we will have to conduct a site visit to collect the report and assess the site to see if maybe contacts have changed and get them on board with reporting the cases. And once we get those reports from the sites, we do a case investigation. So that involves collecting information about the rash description, pain severity, any complications, any health care sought, any treatment for HZ, any household transmission of the varicella zoster virus, any underlying conditions, if there was a history of varicella disease, and their demographics. And we collect that to determine if they fit the case definition for herpes zoster. And that's a vesicular rash in a dermatomal distribution, as Raphael explained, and it has to be diagnosed by a healthcare provider. We also assess post-herpetic neuralgia, and that's conducted with an interview 4 months after the rash is healed for those who did report ongoing pain. And then we determine if they fit the case definition for PHN, and that is ongoing pain at the site of the rash more than 90 days after rash onset. So this gives you some of our results from the 2006 surveillance. So you'll notice that we had 154 confirmed adult cases in West Philadelphia. 68% of them reported a unilateral rash, a rash on one side, and a single dermatome. And you see in our map the most common dermatomes that were reported for the rash, with thoracic and cervical being the highest reported. The majority of them did have a positive or uncertain history of varicella, and one case did develop a rash 16 days after vaccination. It's important to note that 23% of our cases did report immunocompromising condition. All were diagnosed by a healthcare provider, and 88% of them received antiviral medication within 3 days of the onset of the rash. Now, this slide just shows you a breakdown of the cases and rates by age group in West Philadelphia. And we also noted the cases that were received from old sites in purple and the new sites in white. And then the yellow line is the rate. So as expected, the rate has increased by age. And we also had a higher proportion of cases that were received from the new sites in the 70 and 80 plus age groups here. The next one shows the rates of by age group and gender in West Philadelphia. So the male cases are white and the female cases are in purple. And you'll notice the male rate in the yellow line and the female rate in the purple line. So we have noticed a similar rate between females and males until you get to about the 70 and above age group, where we have noticed a slight increase in the male rate in West Philadelphia. But that is attributed to the fact that there are fewer men in the age group of 70 plus, and there are higher proportions of those with immunocompromising conditions and other chronic conditions in West Philadelphia. Now, to show you the medical facilities that were visited for herpes zoster, 58% were seen in the ER for their zoster episode. 72% of those had chronic conditions, and 18%, again, were immunocompromised, 51% reporting severe pain. So the suspicion is that severe pain is driving them to the ER, and it's likely that those that have other chronic conditions or immunocompromised conditions have a primary care physician, but they're presenting to the ER first because of either their severe pain or the lack of access to care immediately, or the fact that doctors cannot prescribe narcotic pain over the phone, so they're presenting to the ER to get treatment for their zoster. And we took a look at the pain severity by age group in West Philadelphia, with mild, moderate, and severe pain, mild being white, moderate kind of orange, and then severe pain is red. And the 50 to 59-year-olds reported the highest proportion of severe pain, and you'll notice that the 60 to 69-year-olds had the highest were moderate and severe pain. What's notable here in this slide is that the 70 and 80-year-olds reported the lowest amount of pain, lowest proportion of pain overall. So that's something that's to be noted, which was different from what was expected in the research. Prescription pain medications by pain severity. So again, looking at the mild, moderate, and severe pain, we wanted to see what prescriptions were being prescribed. And as you can see, the opioids were prescribed most often for severe pain. And under 25% of any other medications were prescribed, regardless of the pain severity. And then we wanted to take a look at the pain by age group, and this is postherpetic neuralgia, so pain 90 days after rash onset for those with ongoing pain, and whether or not the pain affected their daily living activities. So the purple represents those that said that pain affected their daily living activities, and white it did not. And the proportions are roughly similar for those from 50 to 59, 60 to 69, and 70 to 79 for pain affecting daily living activities. But again, for the 70 and 80 plus groups, we had higher proportions for those that said the pain did not affect their daily living activities. And then we also took a look at the herpes zoster related complications by immune status. And again, remember, 23% reported an immunocompromising condition, so we wanted to see how that related to any complications that were seen. And although the complications were rare, there were higher proportions in the immunocompromised adults. And particularly bacterial superinfection and cutaneous dissemination and hospitalizations. There were no reported deaths from herpes zoster. And then less than 10% of any healthy adults reported any complications at all. We examined transmission of VZV to the household members. So of the cases that we reported, the confirmed cases, 117 of those reported living with a household member. But what's notable is that 46 of those lived alone, and another 46 lived with one household member, where nearly all of percentage of those were adults, 20 years of age or older, who are likely immune to varicella zoster virus. We did have one reported secondary household transmission, and this was from a grandmother to her two grandsons that lived in the household. And both grandsons had one dose of the varicella vaccine and did develop a breakthrough rash. And the rash that the grandmother had was on her forehead. So to note some key findings for our first year of adult surveillance, we did find that the new surveillance sites that we added contributed to the higher proportion of cases in the 70 and older age group. We also had over one half of the zoster cases reported to VASP sought care in the ER. And a majority of those had conditions requiring them to have another healthcare provider, primary care healthcare provider. So we wanted to continue to examine why they were seeking treatment in the ER. We also looked at household transmission, and we found that it was rare, but remember, most cases live alone or with one adult. So the strengths and limitations of our surveillance in West Philadelphia. To look at the strengths, again, herpes zoster is reportable in the city of Philadelphia, so many of our sites have already been educated to report zoster for several years. And we also have our citywide electronic surveillance, which captures West Philadelphia residents who may seek care outside of the surveillance area. We can capture those. For limitations, our surveillance does rely on cases that do seek care with a healthcare provider. So we're looking at other ways to capture those cases that may not seek care in a healthcare provider setting. And ensuring reporting completeness will be harder to achieve among adults, because we don't have some of the checks and balances to assure accuracy that we have with children in varicella, where we have schools reporting and childcare facilities reporting as well as healthcare providers. And the accuracy of the reporting may vary by site type. So depending on where the reports are coming from, if it's a long-term care or a hospital, the accuracy may be different. Obtaining clinical information is difficult with elderly because of possible communication problems, or the fact that many cases we get for elderly are completed through a proxy or through a long-term care nurse or a medical record. Future implications for our zoster surveillance: to provide a baseline clinical characterization of herpes zoster for the evaluation of the shingles vaccination program, and to continue to look at the role that adult zoster plays in the varicella zoster transmission. We'd like to acknowledge the CDC staff and all the sites who provide the reports for our zoster surveillance.